You ready to get in the Word?
Yeah.
Let's go. Would you turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15? This is the last day we're going to be on this. John's Gospel, chapter 15. Now, as you're turning there, let me debrief and refresh on Psalm 91, verse 1. If this is one of your favorite verses or favorite psalms, I'm with you. It is mine too, one of my favorites. Actually, I got a lot of favorites, but this is one of the top ones for me. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "He or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Boy, does it sound good? Doesn't it sound great? But what does it mean? He who dwells, first of all, dwells in the Hebrew is he who marries into the family. I'm going to paraphrase this, the Hebrew in this. He who marries to the point of joining with God in this union and dwelling in this union, taking on the really leaving behind your old identity and coming so close to Him that it looks like you're married to Him as a bride. Okay? That's what it means to dwell in the Hebrew, not just live there. There's so much more in this. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. What's the secret place? That is a big question, isn't it? But the secret place literally means, this is a literal aspect, is that with that dwelling with God, there is a sharing, closeness, heart to heart. Like a husband and wife. It's that kind of intimacy. Sharing heart to heart, secrets, revelation, understanding. Back and forth. This is a two-way thing. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or remain, it means to live, under the shadow of the Almighty, to live in all that He is and all that He has and all His power and all His majesty and all His greatness and all His provision, protection, deliverance, favor, righteousness, on and on and on. It's limitless in our lives. That is what that means. And then the rest of Psalm 91 goes ahead and explains it. Kind of breaks it down. But that's what that means, to abide. Now, the title of this series is called Stay Put. And the reason it's called Stay Put is because we don't stay put in this relationship. It's our tendency. Our tendency is to default back to something else or outside of really God's heart, God's intention for us. Remember, our God is a heart God. It's not some mystical, I can't figure this out, kind of relationally challenged God. He's a heart God. We're made in His image. We have a heart. Boy, don't you think He's got a heart? This is the kind of closeness that He wants with us. That's why He said dwells in the secret place of the Most High. So it's important that we learn how to dwell, how to abide in this, in Him. Now, Jesus lived this out. And Jesus, we went through John, His Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Jesus spoke all about abiding, 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 abiding. Jesus, who lived out Psalm 91 in this relationship, in this relational area with the Father, lived it out with Him. This is His experience all the time. He was constantly dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Jesus, as the Son of Man, carried and exuded the identity of the Father. Didn't He? I and the Father are one. If you've seen, Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. He was continually living out, demonstrating, exuding, exhibiting the identity of the Father. all the time because of this relationship of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, John chapter 15, we're at the final part here. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. John 15, 7 and 8. Understanding what I just said. Okay? Jesus said, now to us, as disciples, if you abide in me. I want you to understand when Jesus says in the Greek, if you abide in me, we're supposed to get the take on this. It means if you take it in a literal sense, you only take it this far, it means to remain or to lodge, to live. But if you live someplace, you're going to take on some things you're going to become a part of, right? Yeah. Right? Okay. Jesus said, abide in me under the same understanding. Remember now, Jesus is quoting, first of all, he's the Word, he's speaking the Word, but Jesus lived in the first covenant. He's referring to abiding the way Psalm 91 puts it. So let's put this to us personally. If you abide in me, if you do, because you have a choice. Every one of us has a choice on abiding. You can do it or you cannot do it. You can be born again and not abide. Do you know that? You can be born again, you get a brand new spirit, you get sealed by the Holy Spirit, sins washed away and forgiven, and not abide in Jesus. Because this kind of abiding, and this is what I want to bring out, this kind of abiding means much more than some surface, carnal relationship with God. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Stop. If you abide in me first, if you connect and join with and you become a part of my life, you leave the old what was behind and you accept my sacrifice, my life given for you. You take my life. You take on the image of who I am. We're carrying Jesus' image now. Jesus' identity. We don't get this. When we were created with a new identity, when we got born again and we took this new identity given to us. New creations. God made us new. It's the new spirit. The one that can't sin. But what comes with this is the identity of Jesus Christ in our lives. And just as Jesus exuded and demonstrated, exhibited and lived out his abiding in the Father, we're doing the same thing with Jesus when we get born again. But it's our choice. You want to go deep? You want to go long? It's your choice. Now in this church, a lot of people made that choice to go deep, go long. But not every Christian does or feels that way. If you abide in me and my words abide or remain, become a part of your life, your identity changes, you look more like me, you carry my image. When you look in the mirror, you're seeing Jesus. When you're looking out at each other, brothers and sisters, you're seeing Jesus. You know, it makes it a lot easier to love. It makes it a lot easier to start seeing and expecting and ministering and touching lives because you're seeing Jesus. to build up and encourage and edify and exhort, because you see in Jesus. We carry now His identity as a new creation. That's who we are. That is our identity. It is Jesus. It's not some obscure, mystical, I can't figure it out thing. Our new identity is Jesus. That's what it is. If we abide in this new identity and all that comes with the closeness of abiding, becoming a part of and sharing our hearts, our secrets, and Him with us, the revelation and the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom and the love, and that closeness, and leaving that old behind, we're going to dwell in that secret place, that shadow of who He is, except it's not a shadow anymore, it's revealed by the Word. We're going to dwell in all of that in our lives. But it's our choice. Every one of us, every day. Can you be born again and not do it, not abide? Sure you can. It's our choice every day. Does this all make sense?
Amen.
This is how important this is. Romans 8 verse 29 says, we're predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Does this mean by our own works? God has predestined us, chosen us to be conformed, molded into, look like, carry about the image of Jesus. That's the identity that we carry, that we look like, that we can live out, and we can live it out to the fullest or not. So the title of today's message is Remain, Request, and Receive. I want to read it again. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. The shall be done for you comes out of this abiding relationship. This change, this communion, the new identity, everything flows out of our new identity. Everything. Because it's an identity that looks just like Jesus. With your personality. First part, to remain. To abide. To remain in. To lodge. To live. To have that closeness. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3. I want to dissect this just for a moment. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3 says, if anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. Oh, that's nice. When Paul wrote this, he understood abiding in Jesus and abiding in the Father, what this relationship aspect was like, this heart to heart. If anyone loves God, this one is known by Him. To be known by Him, first of all, loving God because He first loved us. Known by Him is literally, in the Greek, means intercourse. It's the same type of closeness relationally that He wants us to have by abiding. It's our choice. But that's what He means by that. To have that heart to heart with us regularly. James chapter 4, as far as abiding, verse 8 says, draw near to God. Now James is blunt. He's more blunt than a lot of people, but his bluntness is out of love. I want you to understand. James is Jesus' half-brother. And when he wrote this book, he wrote it as saying, I want you to understand what this means. Because they're referring to how the Old Testament, I mean, that's what they had to teach. And then as it was recorded, it became the recording of the second covenant or the new covenant for us who are saved or born again by grace. All right. James 4 verse 8 says, he wrote, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Man, I get the picture of, here's what happens. Here's God, hands folded, standing erect, scowl on his face, frown, kind of daring us to get close to him. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. That is, can you wipe that out if you got the same picture? Because that's what I had. I know I wasn't the only one. It's join near. Literally means in the Greek, join near him. Come and abide with him. And then James says, and he will draw near to you. It doesn't mean that God's standing away waiting on you to come close to him. It means that what we do is when we draw near to him, we open our heart up to be able to receive from him. Because he can't get through to us without us being willing. Okay? Draw near to him. He'll draw near to you. And then the rest of the scripture, he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Well, that sounds condemning. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Well, that sounds condemning. It's not condemning. What he's saying, James is saying, make a decision to leave behind these other things that are keeping you from this. Okay? Make the change. Please make the change. And join with him this way. And James, the book of James, is so much softer than what we understand. It's so much more potent when you understand the heart of God, the heart of Jesus, when he says, I want you to abide with me. Abide in me. Let my words abide in you. You have to remember, Romans 8, 35 through 39, nothing but nothing will ever separate us from his love. This love is that kind of abiding love that's abiding in Jesus, this relational aspect, and dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. This way. There's major heart stuff here. It's a desire by us to have with him everything. And all that comes out of this for us. That's to remain or to abide. Number two, it's a request. He said, Jesus said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. We get all cobbled up and we have all these convoluted ideas about prayer. And let me give you the grace aspect here in the grace teaching, grace understanding of what prayer is and what prayer is not. There are those who have grown up in grace, and believe me, I saw this in Bible school, and I've heard it outside of Bible school. I've heard it in people that teach grace. I've heard it in people that understand grace and that think they understand grace. And because I'm under grace, because everything has been provided for me, and it's already done, there is no need for me to pray. Okay. Then you've got a misunderstanding of this relationship and grace. Period. That is a lot of Christians' understanding when they think that, again, everything is provided. All of it. God's given us everything by his grace. We access it by faith. Never, ever does the Lord say, you don't need to pray about anything. Then there's the other aspect of prayer that Christians believe, and that is, got to beg, got to beat the door down, got to stand, got to be loud, we got to jump up and down, and we got to force God's hand. That isn't it either. That's way off. Both of those are way off balance. So, just real quick, I want to try to get this so that it's understood. Why, when we abide in Jesus the way that he calls us to, invites us to as a call, when we do this, when we can ask anything and we've got it, we don't get it. We don't get the understanding. We can ask for anything and we've got it. Now don't go off on me here. I don't mean asking for somebody else's husband or wife, or I don't mean asking for anything outside the will of God. Okay? But we can ask for anything and we've got it. Psalm 37 verse 4. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, and this gets a little twisted by some people in their understanding. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's number one. There's a two-parter in this. Delight yourself in the Lord means that you're going to abide in him, dwell with him, share with him, leave your identity behind, take on his, leave the stuff behind. You're going to open your heart and you're going to have this with him. Delight yourself in him. Abide in him. Dwell in him. And he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you, literally in the Hebrew, the requests of your heart. Now that's non-negotiable. We put all kinds of factors on this, all kinds of limitations, all kinds of stuff, and all kinds of works and formulas and stuff. That's it. That's the reality. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the requests of your heart. It's that easy. Our requests come through remaining and abiding in the relationship. When we request, when we pray, it's not saying, oh God, I want a house. I call them McMansions. I mean, I've never seen so many big houses. When I start going east, farther into, you know, closer into the suburbs where the, and I think they're probably auto worker or auto company execs. And you look at some of these houses and these McMansions. Oh God, I want a McMansion. That's the desire, that's my request. Okay. You know, this is not a big deal for the Lord. But let's not get carnal. I mean, really? Now that's just one thing. Oh God, I want so-and-so's husband or wife. Oh God, I want. When we make a request, it's the same as, I'm going to use Rosie and I. Rosie would not request of me anything that would impugn my character, cause me to go against my word, cause me to hurt somebody else. Right? She would never do that. But I would go to the ends of the earth for her and anything she wanted. Now that's how the Lord feels about you and me. That's what it means to abide in that. When Jesus said, abide in me. Let my words abide in you. Hear this. Then we can make a request. And it's wide open. Do you understand? It's wide open. This is part of prayer. Ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7, I won't stay on this very long. Philippians 4 verses 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing if you're abiding, if you're living there. You're taking on that new identity, his, sharing hearts, dwelling. Be anxious for nothing because you don't have to. But in everything, I'm going to read it. By prayer, oh my gosh, there's prayer in the New Testament. Huh. And supplication, which is literally meaning petition. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, because you're abiding in Him. This is what it means to seek the kingdom of God first in His righteousness, and everything will be added to you because you're abiding in Him, in this relationship. You know, the Lord is standing with each one of us. And it's like this. This is the picture I get. It's like, come on. I just want to love you. I want to share my heart with you. Will you come to me and share your heart with me? And like this, just enfolding us. And this is where He wants us to stay. This is it. All the time. And not leave. When we request a lot of things, a lot of times, we don't have this picture or this understanding of abiding. When we request from the Lord, it's based on this relationship. Even if it's already provided, things that I want to give Rosie, or that she wants to give to me, I don't keep my mouth shut. I say, can I, would you? And she does with me. Still asks. Because it's a part of the relationship. I want to break down some of these barriers and this understanding of abiding. And what abiding, what the payoff is for you and me. And for Him. Receive. How do you receive? Remain, request, receive. All because of the relationship. Mark 11:24, this is the easiest. If you look up receive in your Greek dictionaries, if you have them, just look up the word receive in the New Testament. Count it up. Look at it. See how many times the Lord speaks about receiving. But I'm going to read this one. Mark 11:24. Jesus said, I say to you. That means you. Whatever things you ask, whatever your request is, whatever you ask of me, because you're abiding like this with me. You're not leaving anymore. Staying here. No matter what things look like or feel like, sound like, smell like, doesn't matter. Whatever you ask, when you pray, when you request, believe that you receive them and you will have them. In all of this, the Lord's saying, I'm not holding anything back from you, and I won't. I won't keep it from you. I won't hinder you. I am for you. I'm on your side. I want to get it to you. Will you abide in me? Will you dwell this way with me? That's what He longs for. To receive means to take hold. It's ownership, literally, in the Greek. It's mine. If we can get that in our hearts, look out. So how do you do this? How do you stay put? How do you remain, request, and receive? It all happens from what you think your relationship with the Lord is like. If you abide in Him, His words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and you will have it. Period. When you request, ask from the knowledge of this understanding. Your needs are already met. But ask and let it be known. It's okay. There's no condemnation. It's like, okay, I'm having a relationship here. This is personal, really personal conversation between you and Him. It's uber personal. Okay? Number three, request or receive when you've presented your request with the expectation that out of His unconditional love, God will go to the ends of the earth to get it to you. That's the reality. So ask out of your heart, out of your love for Him. Ask out of abiding, dwelling in this depth of relationship. Because I'm telling you, your life's going to change if you do it this way. Sky's the limit. Stand with me, please. Prayer team, come on up. In order to have this kind of relationship, you've got to be born again. If you're not born again, you can be. And you can have this. You have everything God's got for you. After the service is dismissed, please come and talk to our prayer team. Let them know if you've got any questions or if you doubt or you wonder. And if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, boy, this is where the power takes place. All you got to do is come and ask. Let one of these prayer team ministers lead you into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's really easy. Change your life. Lastly, if you have any other needs, if you have some things that need to be talked over, maybe some understanding in some different areas where you haven't had this. You know, we're all about getting questions answered here, okay? Not leaving things a mystery and teaching people how to do this. That is our heart. That is the role of our church, and to help people walk in, get into, and receive what God's got for them. If you need anything else, one of these prayer team members will put their faith with yours. They'll hook up with you and help you reach that so you can actually believe and receive from your Father, from Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, what He's got for you for real. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for making real to us what this relationship is about. I mean real, tangible real. Help us not settle for anything less anymore. Help us to abide and not leave, not jump out, not go backwards, but go forward in You, even when we don't understand, because we know You're taking care of our request. You go to the ends of the earth for us. Help us, Lord, be aware, cognizant of this relationship and the depth that continues all the time. I call us blessed beyond measure, favored and loved and cared for, healed and prosperous and righteous, full of joy and peace and the reality of Your love. Thanks for building us up in You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. You are dismissed. Have an awesome week.